you're here this morning. Thanks for engaging what God might be doing in your life. I don't believe things happen by accident when it comes to eternal things, when it comes to God at work. And we can determine that God's at work to some degree just by what he's telling us, how we're hearing from him through perhaps his word, part of the community that is called by the name of Jesus. And so I think God has a design for your life. He has a very purpose for you. He created you and loves you more than anyone else. And he has an incredible promise and plan. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But just consider the things we can do as people that are disciples or following Jesus with respect to the community around us. Now, when we planted this church, it'll be almost 3 years at the end of the month. The desire was to reach out as best we could, to be doing community outreach, to connect with people, because God loves every single soul. And so, friends, we've made a determination to do that. In our short 3 years, we do a lot out here in the community. This next event, if you're not involved in it, could I ask you to consider to be involved this coming Saturday morning for 2 hours? Now, there's a bunch of the branch folks that are involved, but you don't have to be part of the branch. You don't have to be a member, you know, here in order to participate in this event. This event is designed to have participants from all over, okay? The school's going to have people out there, like Lori was sharing. The business community is engaged in this. People have been giving to it financially and also, you know, signing up to help. And so we just love to see lots of branch folks out there engaging with other folks in the community, doing something important like making sure kids are fed. And so these are just simple little meals that we, you know, assemble over a period of a couple of hours. And so you could mark on your connection card that you'd like to be considered part of that. We'll make sure you're connected with and you know how to drive yourself to the website and sign up on there to be there and present. So thank you for any participation you can contribute toward this event being a grand success for the sake of children who need food. Sometimes they don't always eat well, and sometimes it's because there's just issues and factors. We want to eliminate some of those if we can and be a help in that way. And so we've been in this series we've called Church 101, which, you know, if you go to a 101 class, it's kind of like basic stuff, right? And so, but sometimes the basic stuff gets overlooked. And when football teams lose football games that they should have won, the coach will always say, back to the basics, guys, you know, and, you know, let's go back to simple blocking. That makes a difference in, you know, winning the game. And there's basics in the church that sometimes get overlooked because there's all kinds of other things that goes on in church. You know, it can. We're just going to inform ourselves of some of those things that we really believe Jesus, it's his church. We learned that in the first week. He said, I will build my church. Jesus said that. So this church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the leadership. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus first and foremost. And then we get to participate as a supportive community under the banner and the name or the head of Jesus Christ. And so it's the second week we look at this idea last week of the supportive community concept of the church. And it's just amazing how the church began to meet in its early days. And it did those four things. It gave devotion to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, which we understand to be communion. And so there's some basics, and we dealt with some of those last week in this idea of this supportive community, that we care about each other, but not just each other, because the church was on mission. The church has always been on mission. The reason we're here today is because people in the church before us were on mission. And they went and they honored Jesus' words to go and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey whatever he'd commanded. And he would be with us always to the very end of the age. And I want us to consider something extremely important. And you have some notes there. We're talking about the church here being God's dwelling place. And to kind of introduce that, I want to share with you about my grandson's desires when he grows up. I ask him, he's only 4, what do you want to be when you grow up, Asher? You know what he said? He wants to be a superhero. You know what? Superheroes are all over the place today. When I was growing up, I think on the next slide it'll show there were a few. But now they've added to the number, and I hear some estimates as over 1,000 superheroes. In other words, these characters with supernatural powers, good or evil. So just share with somebody nearby who your favorite superhero is. Now, you'll say, well, when I was a kid, but, you know, come on, today, who's your favorite superhero? Go ahead and share with those right around you. Who's your favorite superhero? I want to hear some. Yeah, I hear ya. Yeah. Okay, how many of you said Thor? Because he's the best. Yay, all right. Any more Thors in here? He had the hammer. Yeah, Jerry, you and I, we got him. All right. How many of you are Superman or Superwoman and like Batmans? And so, yeah, we all got him. And we all watch him now, don't we have to, you know? And so here's the deal. Here's a picture of a guy showing his Superman underneath, right? But I want to tell you today that inside of those that follow Jesus, that S stands for something different. It stands for spirit. Spirit. Look at what the Bible says over there in John 4, in verse 4. You are from God, little children. And John's speaking to the fact that they're children of God the Father, so he's calling them little children, the ones he's writing to, but he's telling me you're from God. You are from God if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple, you are from God. Actually, the whole world of humans are really from God. Really, we're all from God. We came from him. We're his special creation, made in his image. But look what he goes on to say, because greater is he, and you have overcome them, and greater is he who is in you. And I've emphasized that on the screen there. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he was speaking to some folks there in this area where he was writing that were dealing with some philosophies about God, philosophies about life that were not true, were not correct. And so there were what were called the ones against Jesus group, and they were called the Antichrists. They were against Jesus. Anybody who's against Jesus who has come in the flesh, that God the Son has come in the flesh, is Antichrist. Because Jesus is God, the very Son of God. And to deny that, to be against that, is to be Antichrist. It's a simple term, it just means against Christ. And obviously, forces in the world that are really against Christ, you know, we kind of exalt to great Antichrist. But so, he said, greater is he who is in you. So if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, inside, you have something greater than this world can throw at you in any manner, in any way, philosophy-wise, in what they might teach, what they might follow, how their lives are influenced by that philosophy. You are equipped with God inside. We have a powerful divine presence called the Holy Spirit in the Bible. He indeed is supernatural, as God indeed is, above and beyond what's natural as we understand it. He lives and he dwells in us as disciples. We have a power greater. As such, we have that resource power that's greater if we submit to it, if we align ourselves with it, if we follow it, if we let that power help lead ours, our own souls, our own lives, our own spirits. And so the Holy Spirit of God strengthens our inner person. As Paul, the church planter apostle, would say in Ephesians as he wrote to this church in Ephesus, look at what he said. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Wow. So that, look what the reason is, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is always at work to exalt Jesus. He's always trying to help people know Jesus better and follow Jesus better, to experience the Christ that is Savior and King of our lives. So the Holy Spirit is actively trying to do that, even within us. And so, we can pray for each other and others that you know, just like Paul, the church planter apostle, did right here. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he has all of the resources above all others, he may strengthen you. There's a strength that can come. There's a power that we can have through his Spirit in your inner being. Grab onto this today, friends. Hold on to this. This is powerful. This is meant to encourage us. This is meant to help us to pray for each other. Because greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. Our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, the one who will take us home one day, is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Look at this next verse. It just comes a few verses after the previous. Look what it says here. This is a lofty kind of out of this world understanding God wants us to have. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, look at it again, according to the power that is at work within us. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Look how he's able to do it. Because of a presence, a power within us. That power, that presence, is the capital S Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. So, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is incredibly important to the church, which isn't about buildings, it's about the people, the community, the supportive community, I like to say, that are followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is integral. He is absolutely essential, as we'll continue to see here momentarily. Without the Spirit of God, we are not the church of Jesus Christ. God dwells in you. And you can write in you. You can even put me if you want. On your notes, if you'd like to, there on the front page there. God dwells in me. He dwells in you. You, that's your body. He dwells in you. And it's his... As such, we have this greater power, this power that strengthens, this power that is at work within us, just out of those few verses we've already looked at. So, friends, if you're suffering in any way today, if you're feeling beaten up because of work, finances, some relationship issue, kids, parents, if you're feeling like it's a struggle to love someone, if you're feeling confused, you're not very patient with people, perhaps this you may be going through a season, you're struggling to react in kindness or have self-control over some sinful thoughts, perhaps, or words that keep flowing, or acts. God wants you to know, if you're a Christian, if you're his follower, if you have come into covenant relationship with him, he wants you to know. He wants you to know this encouragement that you have. You have a power, a resource power through the presence of God the Spirit in you. You have a power to endure. You have a power to overcome, to do good when everything in you wants to act and react otherwise. The Holy Spirit is there within you to prompt you, to lead you, to urge you, to nudge your spirit. He's there trying to do that, to nudge your spirit to do the right things. So I put this picture up here of a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Ever felt like you were in a tug of war with someone, you know, this voice in one ear, we might say, encouraging you to give in to something that this voice over here is saying, no, that wouldn't be the best. Why would you want to do that? And this voice over here saying, but it's, you know, and it's a justification voice. The voice is saying, it's going to be okay. And besides, and you make reasons for it being okay. And voice over here saying, you know, that's not going to honor God. How would that look to your children? How would that, if it came out, how would that work out in your best relationships? And so this back in war, tug of war. I'm not going to give you the details. But I went through a tough time in my past. It hasn't been in the past few years, so it'd be nothing you would be aware of. But so in case, because I say that, and then if I don't give details, somebody's trying to think of what it was. But it's way back, over 20 years ago. And I went through a tough time. And I felt like I was very mistreated, dishonored, variety of things. Process wasn't worked well. And that's my feeling. And I was getting upset, resentful, bitter, and angry. And remember, anger is one letter short of danger. So if you get angry and you hold on to anger, watch out, you're in danger. It's not a good place to be. It usually begins early with other things, and you end up in this place. It was in this tug of war. Because I was a Christian leader. And everything in my flesh wanted to react with power. Wanted to use every resource at my disposal to do something that would have been ugly. Wouldn't have been right. In the end, I knew it. This tug of war, the other voice was telling me, no, 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 no. And so as I started to submit to the things of the Spirit, note what I said there, as I started to submit to the things of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit of God would lead me inside, as I kind of knew what was right according to the Bible, as I gathered and connected with some other Christian brothers that could help me process, I started to pray well-being to those who were responsible for hurting me. You know what happened to this guy? My heart started to soften up. My level of resentment, bitterness, anger started to drop. All at once, no, but over time, okay? Because I had to kind of keep listening to the Spirit of God as He was leading, nudging, prompting me in my spirit to do what would be best, which in some regards wasn't even what my rights were. My rights, I could justify doing this other. You ever been there? To some degree or another. Is my recommendation. Listen to the Spirit of God in you. What that voice is telling you. That voice is connected in ways that have informed your life through God's Word, through the people of God around you. As you have connections with the people of God, they will help you toward the Spirit and a Spirit response. Friends, I can't say enough about the power of praying for someone that is against you. That to pray for our enemies is something Jesus said. It's probably the highest level of trust in God we could have. Is just, okay, I'm going to pray and love and pray for those who persecute me? Are you kidding? That's just so against a flesh response, but it is the Spirit response. It's the response that'll bring health to our souls. Believe this. I've tried it. I'm an older guy. To most of you, you're like kids to me. I know some of you, you got me, but most of you are like kids to me. I've seen some of life, friends. Just pray. And it did. It worked for me. It worked for me. What I did is I ended up filling myself with the Spirit of God. As I understood that, I read the Bible. I prayed to God. I got among Christian people. I got among people of faith, people that have lived out some of the stuff that I was trying to deal with. And it works. Oh, my friends, it works. Listen to the Spirit of God. Look at this scripture over there in Ephesians. Do not get drunk on wine. Note. But which leads to debauchery. You're going to be corrupted by sensual desires. This idea of debauchery. Your life's going to become debauched. it's going to get corrupt. Don't get drunk on wine. That's not a good place to go, because you're under an influence that's not going to be good. When we get intoxicated, we're under an influence that's dangerous to our lives. Instead, the Bible says, look what it says. Be filled with the Spirit. I love that. Look what it goes on to say. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. We did that in the first 20 minutes. Get as much of that as you can. It'll help to fill you with the Spirit as you listen to the others singing, to these up here singing spiritual songs, songs about the greatness of God, giving thanks to Him. Do that. Always give thanks, it goes on to say there, to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. That is filling ourselves with the Spirit of God. As you are grateful in your life, you're filling yourself up with the Spirit of God. The corollary or parallel passage over in Colossians shares these terms about being under the influence to raise up the level of the Spirit's influence in our lives. Let the peace of Christ rule like an umpire. Because we're in this tug of war in life so much. We're in conflict even with our own emotions and reactions and actions in thoughts, such like that, that let the peace of Christ rule. Have Him be your umpire to bring about a settling of your soul. Wow. And you're going to fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. Let the Word of Christ, that would be in our Bibles today, dwell in you richly. And so the Holy Spirit prompts, leads, urges. You know, He does those things. I'm the one who nags about that, don't I? Somebody say yes. I nag about reading your Bible every day because I believe as we have the Word of Christ richly dwelling in us, we'll be filled with the Spirit of God and we'll make the choices toward the Spirit of God in alignment with Him. Under His influence, that'll be a blessing in our lives and the lives of those around us. So the Holy Spirit works in us to help us bear God-honoring fruit. Look at this next verse in Galatians where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and such like that. So the Holy Spirit, as He is in our lives, He's working to produce great character in us, like the character of Jesus. And we have this incredible growing character as we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Allow Him to express, Himself through us, that we're submitted to Him, we're aligned with Him, and we more easily love, more easily have joy come what may, more easily have peace when there's chaos. And the list goes on. I love that verse, don't you? Look at this next one. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. There's something unique about sexual sins with respect to our own bodies. Verse 19, it says, do you not know that your bodies, look what it says, are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We looked at that at the very beginning of this series, how Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. He's the owner, right? He's the builder, ultimately. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, here's the conclusion. He's in us. He owns us. He resides in us. The very Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, resides in us. Therefore, conclusion, we honor God with our bodies. Our culture is sexually saturated in a way that's not good. Sex is an incredible gift from God, my friends. It's amazing. But it's designed by God. It's to be expressed inside the covenant of marriage. Outside of that covenant, it's misused. It becomes abusive. And a negative result happens usually. The Holy Spirit is in us. What would He want us to do with our bodies? The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. We call Him the third person of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a person of the triune God, we say, the one triune God, three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. Do I get that thoroughly? I don't have a way of expressing that. It's a mystery from my perspective. But it's what the Bible testifies to, gives witness to. And if we believe this book is from God, is the very one author through 40 different writers, and we find that the evidence for this is so supportive of this being God's Word. Next month, we're going to look at this idea of the Bible as God's Word, our third anniversary month. This church is built by Jesus Christ through the very Word of Christ, His words, testament to the church. So, he's God in us. Mystery to me too, but that's what the Bible claimed. He lives in us, and He, the Bible says, can be grieved. Grieved. God can be grieved. His Spirit in us. Just like you can grieve over a child. You can grieve over someone close to you. Well, God grieves over us if we choose to do things that will eventually very much harm us. We can resist the Spirit of God, the Bible says. We can quench the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says. And that's, we're doing that to a person. But if that wasn't enough, consider this, my friends, about the Holy Spirit in you and the incredible value of what we have if we're followers of Jesus Christ. God wants you and I to know that our promises are secure. They're sure. We can go to our death with this. And so God's Holy Spirit in us is to be a kind of guarantee or earnest or deposit, we might say, on our future inheritance. He, God in us, makes our hope secure. Look at what the Bible says. And you also were included in Christ. These are talking to the Gentiles because they came into the church by faith. Now, like the Jews that were in the church, they were now Jewish, or we call Messianic Christians today. They have this Jewish heritage. But the Gentiles now, who were pagan to the Jews before, can now be included in Christ. And they were when they heard the message of truth, the gospel of their salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Who is, look what it says there. Look what it says. He was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. That's our inheritance, which we're going to get when we die. That'll be ultimately the final result. When we die, that'll come to us, okay? When Christ comes again, the final job, we get this inheritance because we have this deposit that guaranteed it. Some of you bought homes, and you go down, and in order to secure that home's going to be yours, you sign the real estate sales agreement, and you put down a deposit, which once that's done, you say, okay, it's ours. Pretty much, if everything agreed to follows through, you've got it, no one else can get it. In our day and age, with multiple bids on houses, we've just gone through a season of that. Boy, that makes a difference when you finally get that deposit, because it guarantees you can get that house. We have this guarantee that we're going to get heaven, and it's because of the deposit of the Holy Spirit living within us. That's what God tells you and me. Look what it goes on to say. Until the redemption, the final redemption, you know, when Jesus comes back and all the dead are raised, and there's of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And I just thought, man, wouldn't it be cool if we just right now praised God for this glorious thing he's doing through his Spirit in us. Would you be willing to do that with me? Praise God right now with our applause to God. God, you are amazing, and we praise you. We just give you honor now for what you have done for us through Jesus, and as Jesus promised the Spirit who would come as he ascended into heaven, and he comes and he deposits himself in us, oh my, to give us a power that we would need as we would fulfill the work of God on this planet. All the way down to this day, we thank you. Thank you for your presence, which ensures power and promise to us, not just individually, but as a church. Amen. And now, God dwells in the church on earth. He dwells in you. He dwells in me personally, in our individual bodies, if we've come to know him as he's asked us to. But he also dwells in the church as it meets. Look at this scripture. Don't you know? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Right now, friends, as we are meeting, we are God's temple. God resides. God dwells right here in our midst as we've gathered. God is here. You believe that? I can't see him. Do you still believe that? Can you see him? He's here, though. We trust that. The invisible God is present in our midst, as well as in each of our lives personally. This is what the Bible proclaims. This is what we're to understand and believe and live with. It's a powerful thing. So the question I'd have then is, how do I know the Holy Spirit is in me? How do I know I have the Holy Spirit of God in me? How do you know you have the Holy Spirit of God in you? Is there a way to know? Yes. Jesus promised to send the Spirit when he would ascend. And we're going to look at this more closely in a couple of weeks. Next week, be here, because we got the bearded church planter here next week, okay? Remember I told you about Sam, the bearded church planter? This is going to be a great service. I was like, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Yeah, so next week, but the following week, we're going to tie up the end of this series. We're going to talk about the amazing Holy Spirit as he not just founded the church, he founded it, and it was an amazing event, the day of Pentecost, but he continued to build the church. And he does down to this day, and he gifted the church, and he's done amazing things to bless the kingdom. And so we're going to end up with that kind of organizational organism kind of message that'll be a blessing to each one of us, because each one of us has a place in that organization organism called the church, the very body of Christ, okay? So that'll be in two weeks. But he said, Jesus, when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, Jesus identified him, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, speaking to the 12 closest there, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? Look at this scripture now. As Jesus was about ready to ascend to heaven, he said to those 12 apostles, you will receive, there were 11 at the time, there would be one added, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's the way it progressed at that time, and the church still progresses in concentric circles to reach more people, even in our time. Just like next year, we're going to have a new church planted by Kyle and Ruth and their family and numbers of the branch folks and other folks that will partner with them to start a brand new church out in the Salmon Creek area, a growing area that needs more churches. And so this is the kind of thing we're trying to do as we reach out. How can we be part of this continuing development that Jesus has proclaimed to happen through the Holy Spirit's ministry? So how do I know the Holy Spirit is in me? Jesus promised that he would come. When I trusted, when I placed my faith, when I believed that Jesus was indeed the very Son of God and a Savior to me in what he did on the cross in paying the penalty for my own sins, then I repented of my sins, I turned to God in that, and started to follow God as best I knew how, as I could find out how, as I learned about the will of God. And then I was baptized, I received the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in me. Consider a couple scriptures. This is one in Acts 2 and 38. This is the beginning of the church. This is the start of the church filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, those Jews that were there listening, as well as their posterity, and for all who are far off, even the Gentiles down to this day." You and I are probably Gentiles here, okay? "For all whom the Lord our God will call." And so the people had come to believe, based on Peter's preaching, that Jesus is indeed the very Messiah, bringing testimony of credibility to his own testimony and witness, as well as what he did to testify to his own power as the very Son of God. And the people turned to believe in Jesus, and this is the response that Peter gave to them as they asked, "What do we do with this new faith that we have in what God's done through the Messiah now?" You're to repent, you're to turn and follow whatever Jesus says, and you are to be baptized in water, complete dunking. The word baptism is a complete submersion underwater. That in itself would unite them with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, which is what saves us, the very gospel of, or good news of, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to new life. Look at this next scripture, though. "When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared." This is a powerful scripture. Look closely. "He saved us." He saved us. Can I say that again? We didn't save ourselves, friends. He saved us. He saved us. Not clearly, the apostle's making the distinction here, to people who might think their own righteous things that they do would help to save them. Not because of righteous things we had done. He assumes they'd done a lot of righteous things. Not because of those, but because of his mercy. He had mercy on me, a sinner. God did. He had mercy on me, a sinner. He saved us. Nobody repeats that. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of an eternal life. This idea of rebirth is this idea of regeneration. It's this idea of newness, a complete recreation in us. It's the idea of that new birth. Renewal is just to be made new. It's a new kind of newness. It's not a continuing remade newness. No, it's a new kind of newness, this idea of renewal. The Holy Spirit in the time of baptism does these things for us. Yeah, we're renewed. We're given new life. It's God who created us to begin with, recreating us, making us a new creation in Christ, through the agency of the third person, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, this is Church 101. We're only 3 years in to what God is doing here at the branch and doing through an extensions of the branch and what we're trying to do out here in this community. And God has given us some superheroes to truly worship. Obviously, God the Father, but we worship Jesus, His Son. He's the superhero who humiliated himself, humbled himself to become a man that he might be the appropriate, satisfactory sacrifice for the sin of the entire world. Being God-man as he was, he suffered and died for your sin and mine. We remember that every week at the branch by our communion time, which we'll have a moment. But we're called to be like Jesus, like my Asher's right now called to be like Batman. I mean, I'm just saying, we're called to be like Jesus. And so we want to imitate him. We want to put him on. We want to fix our eyes on him. We want to don the robe of righteousness that only comes from Jesus. He's our real superhero. The real one, friends. He's the one. And as he left to ascend to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, God the Father sent his Spirit. Who's another superhero in our lives, friends? He lives in us, the Holy Spirit of God. And he equips us, empowers us to be able to follow, out of our own will, but influenced by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to bring honor and glory to God as we would follow him in whatever he would ask of us. And so, friends, Jesus asks us right now to just remember him and what he did for us. We're going to do that in communion. You have some communion trays at your table, some mini ones. And then for those of you that are seated in our little block of chairs in the center there, there's some communion trays right in the back by the stairs. And I'd invite you, if you'd like to take communion, to just head back there to take communion together. Oh, God, we at the conclusion of this message and our time, we want to give you praise and thanks for being a God who equips us fully by your presence so that we could have a power even within us to live for you, to become more like Jesus, our real superhero that we want to know and make known. Would you bless us, God, as we think about what you've done for us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take communion this time. Continue to process communion with your Lord right now. We're going to have a closing song, and after the song, we'll just be dismissed. I want to thank you for being part of the branch 10 a.m. service. We also have an 11:30 service. There's additional yummy food back there. Thank you for the bagels, everybody, and people that help us out with all that hospitality. There's some coffee as well. Just want to invite you to mill around a bit. Maybe reach out to somebody you haven't met yet. Get to know them before you leave today. And so as you would conclude your communion time, just invite you to stand and sing with our band as they lead us out. Thanks for coming, everybody.